Live from historic downtown Carlisle, Pennsylvania, home of founding father James Wilson, 19th century hymn writer George Duffield, 19th century gospel minister George Norcross, and sports legend Jim Thorpe. It's Iron Sharpens Iron. This is a radio platform in which pastors, Christian scholars, and theologians address the burning issues facing the church and the world today. Proverbs chapter 27 verse 17 tells us iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another. Matthew Henry said that in this passage, we are cautioned to take heed with whom we converse and directed to have in view in conversation to make one another wiser and better. It is our hope that this goal will be accomplished over the next 2 hours, and we hope to hear from you, the listener, with your own questions. And now here's your host, Chris Arnson.
Good afternoon, Cumberland County, Pennsylvania, Lake City, Florida, and the rest of humanity living on the planet Earth who are listening via live streaming at IronSharpensIronRadio.com. This is Chris Arnson, your host of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, wishing you all a happy Tuesday on this ninth day of April 2024. And I'm thrilled to have two guests on today, one a first-time guest and one a returning guest, to discuss a matter over which I have never dedicated a full 2 hours to discuss, in my memory anyway, which doesn't mean much at 62 years of age. But from what I can remember, I have never dedicated a full 2 hours to in vitro fertilization and the questions of biblical ethics and morality, and I am glad that I have the opportunity to do so today. And we have on the program to discuss this very important issue, first-time guest, Laura Claussen. She is an anti-abortion activist, an actor, and founder and director of Choice 42. And first of all, let me welcome you for the very first time to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, Laura Claussen.
Hi, thanks so much for having me.
And by the way, is it Claussen? I should have asked you this before we went on the air.
No, I meant Claussen.
So it is Claussen.
It is.
Okay, I pronounced it correctly.
Yeah.
And before I introduce my second guest, why don't you tell us about Choice 42, and I understand that there is actually a fuller name to that ministry.
Right. So it's Choice 42. So it is an anti-abortion Christian organization based in Canada, and we are now operating almost worldwide, and we do two different things. On the one hand, we are creating awareness for different issues relating to preborn children. And we do that through a lot of videos that we've done. We've had a lot of videos go viral online and that kind of thing. And the other half of what we do is we connect one-on-one with women who are considering abortion, women who have abortions booked, and we talk with them and we try to plead for their baby's lives. And if we're able to help save the child, then we are able to offer the mom financial assistance that she might need. Yeah, and so that's pretty much Choice 42 in a nutshell. It's written Choice 42, but pronounced Choice 42, meaning the woman is making a choice, but she's making it for two people, herself and her child.
Yes, and that explains why you use the term or the word choice, because that may strike panic in the hearts and minds of many of our listeners who may wrongly quickly jump to the conclusion that you are so-called pro-choice.
That's right. Well, if it actually gets us through a lot of doors that would have been closed to us, especially here in Canada, where if we came out and said, if we had a name that was blatantly anti-abortion, then we'd be in trouble. So this choice has been working nicely for us.
Yeah, if you want to really have a lot of success in Canada, you might want to think about a website, ihatewhitepeople.com or something like that.
It's true. Yep.
And since you're a first-time guest, in a moment, we're going to have you give your salvation testimony, at least a brief summary of that. But before we do that, let me welcome back to the program a returning guest, John Speed, who is an elder and pastor of missions and evangelism for By the Word Baptist Church of Azle, Texas. And he's public relations director for Choice42.com. It's great to have you back on the show, John.
It's great to be back on the show.
And why don't you tell us about By the Word Baptist Church of Azle, Texas?
Well, we're a church that is a Reformed Baptist church. We were in the Southern Baptist Convention, but we left that a few years ago. And we're a small country church that, by God's grace, we've been able to do a lot of different things with missions and evangelism. We do a lot in Mexico and Central America with some pastors, just kind of doing conferences there, a weekly Zoom call with, I don't know, 15 or 20 pastors there. And we do a lot of street evangelism locally. We've done a lot of abortion clinic ministry. They sent me to Syracuse, New York to plant the church, Christ is King Baptist Church up there. And now I'm doing IVF clinic ministry in Tarrant County in Fort Worth area.
By the way, I have to be honest with you, and I this will probably confirm in your mind. I knew this guy Chris Arnzen was a moron, but when you first contacted me and said, "Hey, do you want to discuss the controversies involving IVF?" I thought you were talking about the encroachment of liberalism into intervarsity fellowship. I really did.
Well, we do.
Because I know that, for instance, right near where I'm sitting, about a 5-minute walk, maybe even less, Dickinson College, which is a huge, prestigious college right here in Carlisle, Pennsylvania, they have an IVF, InterVarsity Fellowship campus ministry. And I just recently tragically found out that they support Side B Christianity, which, for those unfamiliar with that term, as I was until I recently organized a debate between Dr. James R. White and Dr. Gregory Coles on the theme, is it biblically appropriate for a Christian to identify as a gay Christian, which the latter, Dr. Gregory Coles, defended that position since he identifies himself as a gay Christian, although a celibate one. But that is the official position of at least this campus fellowship. And apparently you can't have the view that homosexuality, even in the desire, even if it's not acted upon physically, that you have to repent of that as well, that it is not a natural desire. Apparently, InterVarsity Fellowship, at least the local campus ministry here, is opposed to that traditional biblical view and has been taken over by this leftist understanding. Of course, they would deny that because they still say homosexuality, when physically consummated, is a sin. And they would even say lust is a sin, but they make a non-existent differentiation between same-sex attraction and lust. So anyway, that has nothing to do with what we're talking about today, but I just thought you'd get a kick out of what I thought originally when you contacted me we'd be discussing. But providentially, it's not about that, because as I said in the opening, I've never discussed for a full 2 hours in vitro fertilization and how Bible-believing and biblically obedient Christians should respond to this. And before we do that, as I said earlier, we're going to have Laura, who is a first-time guest, Laura Clausen. She's going to be providing for us a summary of her salvation testimony, as we always do with first-time guests here, providing an idea of what kind of religious atmosphere, if any, in which you were raised, what kind of providential circumstances our sovereign Lord raised up in your life that drew you to himself and saved him, saved you. So I would love to hear your story.
Oh, sure. So I was born into a Christian family, very blessed to have that happen. And I was taught, you know, I was taught the gospel my whole life, and I became a Christian very early. And I was baptized very early as a child. And I have just continued walking with the Lord since then. So it's not a very exciting story full of strife or anything like that. Definitely, I have, you know, leaned on my faith throughout the many trials of life. But I was just very fortunate to be born into a Christian home. And I grew up in a Baptist church. And yeah, that is pretty much that. And it was the pastor there who, he was the pastor through most of my childhood. He is the one that I came to with this crazy idea of Choice for Two. however many years ago, it was Choice for Two started 8 years ago. So I came with him to the idea and with the idea. And fortunately, he was just very open and encouraging about it. And really, because of that conversation, that is where this whole organization came from.
So I'm assuming from your salvation testimony that you are one of these folks, and it's always a reason to rejoice when you hear about this, because it's not, I don't think, the common story. Well, it might be more common than I think, but that you were raised in the faith and God had mercy upon you and preserved you to the point where you don't even remember a time when you were in rebellion against Christ. I'm not saying that you were born sinless. Obviously, that would be a heresy. But you obviously must have been born again by God's mercy at some young stage in your life where you don't recall ever being a rebel and not in love with Jesus Christ.
That's true. That's a really good way of putting it.
Okay. And also, we're not going to get too specific about Laura Clausen's personal life because she's actually received death threats because of her ministry with Choice42.com. You care to mention anything about that further?
Sure. It's very hostile, as it is in the United States. Here in Canada, abortion is very celebrated. So if you step out against that, the reaction to it is just vile. And I expected it to be a nasty response in general, but I didn't expect that. And very specific things I've had in online, in writing, even. I know the person that said it. Things like, I'm going to come and find you and douse you in gasoline and light the match.
Wow.
Yeah. I had one guy tell me that he would behead me, which was kind of an interesting one.
This is all because they are so infatuated
with women,
and also perhaps infanticide. They love infanticide so much. I'm assuming that's
right.
Wow.
Yeah. So really, and of course, lots of rape threats. You know, let's see what happens if you get pregnant from rape. When then you'll be the one needing an abortion. So they say.
And you don't think these are coming from like just idiot teenagers or anything like that?
No, I mean, some are, but most of those were adult men. And when I took it to the police, they said nothing can be done until something happens. And if something happens,
what?
Then you have the evidence. Yeah, then you have the evidence to back it up. And I was like, well, if I'm beheaded, I mean,
what?
Post on Facebook.
That's insane.
Yeah.
So if I live in Canada and I call up a black family and say, I'm going to come to your home and burn a cross on your lawn.
Right.
I doubt that the police would say, oh, there's nothing we can do about that.
Oh yeah. You'd be in jail. It's a complete double standard, and I'm aware of it. And so I'm very cautious in details that I give out publicly. You know, I've had a couple people so dedicated to trying and like get me or whatever. They've gone after other Laura Clausens in the country and tried to get them fired. And wow. There was one school teacher at West, and I feel really bad for her, Laura Clausen, and they came after her. And wow. I mean, we look nothing alike. So yeah, they were trying to get her fired.
Now, does she have the same worldview as you?
I don't know anything about her. I just, I found her and I saw what she looked like, and we look very different. So, I mean, her boss didn't go for it that she's me or anything like that.
Yeah. Wow. That's a nightmare. Yeah, the only death threats I've ever had were from my own elders, but I'm only kidding. we praise God for your testimony, and we praise God for the work you're doing. And instead of interrupting either of you mid-sentence, I'm going to go to our first commercial break right now. And then when we can come back, we're going to have Laura Clausen give us more of a detailed description of what goes on medically with in vitro fertilization. And perhaps if you have questions about that, if you're totally ignorant about that, or at least very ignorant about that, feel free to send in a question to chrisarnzen@gmail.com, chrisarnzen@gmail.com. Give us your first name, at least, city and state and country of residence. And then after that, we are going to have John Speed give the reasons theologically and biblically why Christians should find this morally repugnant, and why we should believe biblical ethics are being violated. So once again, our email address is chrisarnzen@gmail.com. As always, give us your first name at least, your city and state of residence, and your country of residence, if you live outside of the USA, and only remain anonymous if your question involves a personal and private matter. And we will grant your request to remain anonymous in those cases, because we realize a topic like in vitro fertilization would very likely evoke questions from our audience that involve very intensely personal and private matters. So feel free to do that. But please, if it's a general question, give us your first name at least, city and state of residence, and country of residence. We'll be right back. Please do not go away.
Armored Republic exists to equip free men with tools of liberty to defend God-given rights against the twin threats of tyranny and chaos. If you own a rifle to resist tyrants and criminals, then you should own body armor and a med kit for the same reasons. A rifle stops evil. Body armor and a med kit keep you in the fight and preserve your life. Armored Republic is a body of free craftsmen united to create tools of liberty. We are honored to be your armorsmith of choice. Civilian ownership of body armor is about increasing decentralized power and, by comparison, reducing the advantages of centralized power. The danger of centralized power is often represented by the word king. As Americans, we hate the word king applied to any mere man. We are Armored Republic. And in a republic, there is no king but Christ. Arm yourself with tools of liberty at armoredrepublic.com.
I'm Pastor Bill Shishko of The Haven, an Orthodox Presbyterian church in Commack, Long Island. I hold the Iron Sharpens Iron radio program hosted by my longtime friend and brother Chris Arnzen in the highest esteem, and I'm thrilled that you're listening today. I'm also delighted that Iron Sharpens Iron is partnering with one of my favorite resources for Reformed Christian literature for decades now, Cumberland Valley Bible Book Service. Well, with the economic nightmare that we're all currently enduring, CVBBS.com, I'm going to enable you to build a wonderful personal library of the best in literature that the Reformers, the Puritans, and the great Christian minds of today have to offer, and at affordable prices. Not only does CVBBS.com offer up to 50% off retail prices, but you'll get an added 5% off orders of $50 or more by using promo code IRON, I-R-O-N. An added 5% off all of your orders of $50 or more from Cumberland Valley Bible Book Service. That's CVBBS.com, making the joy of reading the finest in Christian literature more affordable. Oh, and make sure that you tell them you heard about them on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
Greetings, this is Brian McLaughlin, president of the SecureCom Group and supporter of Chris Arnzen's Iron Sharpens Iron radio program. SecureCom provides the highest level of security systems for residential buildings, municipalities, churches, commercial properties, and much more. We can be reached at securecomgroup.com. That's securecomgroup.com. But today, I want to introduce you to my senior pastor, Doug McMasters, of New Hyde Park Baptist Church on Long Island.
Doug McMasters here, former director of pastoral correspondence at Grace to You, the radio ministry of John MacArthur. In the film Chariots of Fire, the Olympic gold medalist runner Eric Liddell remarked that he felt God's pleasure when he ran. He knew his efforts sprang from the gifts and calling of God. I sense that same God-given pleasure when ministering the word and helping others gain a deeper knowledge and love for God. That love starts with the wonderful news that the Lord Jesus Christ is a Savior who died for sinners, and that God forgives all who come to Him in repentance, trusting solely in Christ to deliver them. I would be delighted to have the honor and privilege of ministering to you if you live in the Long Island area or Queens or Brooklyn or the Bronx in New York City. For details on New Hyde Park Baptist Church, visit nhpbc.com. That's nhpbc.com. You can also call us at 516-352-9672. That's 516-352-9672. That's New Hyde Park Baptist Church, a congregation in love with each other, passionate for Christ, committed to learning and being shaped by God's Word, and delighting in the gospel of God's sovereign grace. God bless you.
I'm Phil Johnson, Executive Director of Grace to You with John MacArthur. I've been a frequent guest on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, and I highly recommend this show. But today I want to tell you about one of its advertisers, Rare Document Traders. Far and away, my favorite source for quality Charles Spurgeon memorabilia. Are you looking for that special, unique gift for your pastor or missionary friend or a loved one? Why not purchase a piece of church history that any believer would cherish? Rare Document Traders is your one-step source for Spurgeon's handwritten manuscripts and letters, as well as other rare books and collectible items from church history. In 15 years that they've been in business, they've earned a stellar reputation in the Reformed community with thousands of satisfied customers all around the world, including me. Visit RareDocTraders.com today. That's RareDocTraders.com. Don't forget to mention you heard about them on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. That's RareDocTraders.com.
Here at Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, praise God for the generous monthly financial support of Royal Diadem Jewelers, educated by and affiliated with the American Gem Society, Jewelers of America, and the Gemological Institute of America. For the perfect custom-designed engagement ring or any one-of-a-kind piece of jewelry created exactly according to your imagination and specifications, Royal Diadem Jewelers has you covered. No matter where you live in the world, Royal Diadem will walk you step-by-step through every stage of the process and even hold a high-tech internet virtual visit using state-of-the-art jewelry design technology to serve you. They start by listening carefully to determine your needs. They're interested in making what you want, not what they want to sell you. From rough design to digital model, to photorealistic image, to wax prototype model, to the finished product, they are continually listening to your input, likes and dislikes, making any changes necessary along the way. This will ensure that your custom jewelry will turn out exactly as you dreamed and well beyond your expectations. Visit royaldiadem.com. That's royaldiadem.com today. Sterling Vanderwerker, owner of Royal Diadem Jewelers, his wife Bronnie, his business partner and manager Brian Wilson, and the entire family thank you all for listening to, praying for, and supporting the work of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
And do not forget, folks, RoyalDiadem.com is still offering Iron Sharpens Iron Radio this mind-blowing opportunity. They are giving Iron Sharpens Iron Radio 100% of the profits from any sale of jewelry to an Iron Sharpens Iron Radio listener simply by that listener mentioning Iron Sharpens Iron Radio when either purchasing a piece of jewelry that they already have in stock at RoyalDiadem.com or if having a one-of-a-kind customized piece of jewelry created from RoyalDiadem.com. As long as they mention Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, we get 100% of the profits. Please go to RoyalDiadem.com today to at least get the ball rolling on your purchase if you have any intention to buy yourself or someone you love jewelry, whether it's perhaps an engagement ring, or maybe you want to take the logo of your church or your parachurch ministry or your denomination or your seminary and turn it into a pendant for a necklace or a ring, or anything else you can conjure up in your creativity and imagination in the realm of jewelry. They will take what's in your brain and turn it into an absolutely stunning, amazing, breathtaking physical piece of jewelry that will blow your mind. And I've seen firsthand the mastery that RoyalDiadem.com has over customizing jewelry. But if you need something quicker, like something they already have in stock in the realm of jewelry at RoyalDiadem.com, for instance, with Mother's Day coming up, Father's Day, or a wedding anniversary, or a multitude of other occasions where you would want to buy someone you love a piece of jewelry, please go to RoyalDiadem.com today, as I said, to get the ball rolling. And the reason why there's urgency is we have no idea when RoyalDiadem.com is going to pull the plug on this offer to us, where we get 100% of the profits from any sale of jewelry to one of our listeners. And keep in mind, folks, RoyalDiadem.com loves Iron Sharpens Iron Radio so much, they are extending this offer to us to receive 100% of the profits from any sale of jewelry on top of the monthly financial support they already automatically provide. So this is in addition to their current generosity financially to us. That's RoyalDiadem.com. Please go to that website today. You're going to get the ball rolling on your purchase. Mention Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. We are now back with my guests today, Laura Clausen, and also John Speed with Choice42.com. We are talking about in vitro fertilization and the questions that arise regarding biblical ethics and morality when it comes to Christians seeking to be obedient, and all Christians should be, obviously. If you could, Laura, give us an overview technically, of what is actually going on in the procedure of in vitro fertilization. What exactly does that phrase even mean? And what is going on technically and medically during such a process?
Okay, so in vitro fertilization, in vitro really means in glass. So what's basically happening is human beings are being created in glass instead of in a woman's body. So the reason that I even got IVF on my radar was because as I was doing my anti-abortion things online, one of our followers, who is pro-choice, made this comment a couple years ago. If you guys, you know, care so much about babies who are being aborted at these young ages, even like you're against the abortion pill, if you care about these lives, then why aren't you at the IVF clinic also caring about those lives and doing something about the murder happening there? And she was saying that, you know, sarcastically. And I was thinking, well, because that's not the same thing at all. But then I realized I didn't know actually how IVF worked. All I knew was that the church that I grew up in, a lot of people did IVF, and it was just a completely normal thing. And a lot of my friends are people who were created through IVF. And so I never questioned it. And so after this person made that comment, I went and I looked into it. And I realized that she was right. And if we believe that life begins at fertilization, which is when life begins, then we cannot support IVF, because so many, way, way more human beings are being killed through the process than are created. I believe the stat, correct me if I'm wrong, John, I think it was 7% of embryos that are created are actually born as babies.
Wow. You know, that, right. What you said reminded me years ago when Chris Matthews was still on either CNN or MSNBC. I can't remember which station he was on. The notorious, infamous leftist Chris Matthews. He was interviewing an anti-abortion activist who was making the point that from the moment of conception, human life exists in the womb of a mother. And he challenged that pro-lifer, just as that other pro-choicer challenged you, or pro-infanticide individual challenged you. Chris Matthews said, if you believe it's murder, why don't you believe in prosecuting the women who are getting abortions? He was doing that to shame the guest. And sadly, the pro-life advocate didn't even acknowledge the question. But it reminded me of that.
Right. Okay. So I started looking into it, and I realized I don't know. I am someone who's been, you know, spending years of my life fighting for babies. I don't have a clue how IVF actually works. So I looked into it, and this is why we ended up releasing the Build a Baby video that we put out last year, because it's on IVF and it explains it. So basically what happens is the woman and the man, or any combination of people, or a single person, anyone who wants a child but is struggling for whatever reason to have a child, can go and look into IVF. And if you are someone who has eggs, they'll test your eggs and see if your eggs are good. If you're someone who has sperm, they'll test your sperm and they'll see if that's good. And if you're missing an ingredient, if you're a single woman and you don't have sperm, then you can go and select sperm from a sperm bank, and you choose, you know, what you want, what features you want this child to have. Okay, so, but say that you're, say you're a heterosexual couple going in, and you're experiencing infertility and you want to undergo IVF. What will happen is they'll give the woman lots of medication, lots and lots of hormone shots over a period of weeks. And that's all leading up to egg retrieval day. On egg retrieval day, after she's taken all these hormones, her body has been manipulated into releasing multiple eggs at one time. Usually, you know, a monthly cycle, you'll release one egg, maybe two. But so they trick the body into releasing a whole bunch, and she goes in for a surgery, and the eggs are collected. Then the man has to have his sperm collected. And how is that done? That's done in the sperm collection room, which is a room that is full of porn. And he goes in and he gives his sample into the cup and he comes out. And then the doctors or scientists or whatever you want to call them, they will, the medical professionals will inject the sperm into the egg in a dish. So this is where in vitro comes from. It happens in a dish. And then they will transfer one, maybe two of these embryos back into the woman. Which on all of these steps, you can go down such rabbit holes. But if you are a couple and you don't have a woman, you can then rent a womb, essentially, through surrogacy. So you will be paired with a woman who your embryos will then be put into. And the remaining embryos will be frozen. And so hopefully the embryo takes and implants into the woman. And, you know, the end goal being that resulting in a live birth of a child. A lot of the time, it doesn't work. And this is why there are so many, you'll hear people say, you know, I had to do 5 or 6 cycles of IVF before we got a baby. And it's so expensive. It costs between, I think, $15,000 and $30,000 per cycle.
Wow.
So your embryos there, your extras, remain frozen. And should you need them for, you know, another cycle, and they can be thawed out at any point, but most do not survive the thawing process. And you pay a fee to keep your frozen embryos frozen for years, because even people who are they have the family they wanted, they got the children they wanted, they don't want anymore, they've still got these other human beings frozen in freezers who they're paying monthly for. So what happens at the end of all of this is they have to decide, okay, are we going to try and transfer these embryos? Or are we going to allow someone else to adopt our embryos, which is the whole embryo adoption thing? Or are we going to stop paying the fee and our embryos will be thrown into the garbage? Or which people are encouraged to do now is to donate them to science, because, you know, then you feel good, like you're doing something to further the cause of IVF, and you're helping and you're giving a gift and you're giving back. So that is kind of a very basic overview. And like I said, you can just go down rabbit trails at every stage, especially like with the exploitation of surrogates in other countries and just how badly they are treated. That's a whole situation. And then the eugenics. That is what I forgot to mention, is that all of the embryos, when they're first created, they're tested and they're graded. And if they don't make the grade, they are discarded immediately. And the parents probably wouldn't even be told about them. They would just be killed immediately. And so they're screening for any genetic issues such as Down syndrome, anything like that. They will just kill those embryos. They do not want to implant imperfect embryos. And then just within a normal pregnancy, sometimes a woman's egg can split and she'll get twins. That can happen as well. And if more than one embryo implants, or if a splitting happens and there are multiples, then they will perform selective reduction, which is where they abort the undesired extra babies that are alive and growing in the woman. So the whole process just has death from the beginning all the way through until the end. And once I realized all that goes on, it was very clear to me that IVF is immoral and that we can't support it if we believe life begins at conception, at fertilization, I should say.
And before I move on to John with some theological thoughts, when you said that you were a member of a church where it was very common for couples to get involved with in vitro fertilization because they were having problems conceiving, did the elders know this? Did the elders recognize that this was really very little different from abortion, that human life is being allowed to die, which is really the same thing as murder? And tell us more about that. Were these people ever educated about the truth later on and so on?
They've been educated now since my video, which has made my relationship very awkward with a lot of people. But I can't say for sure because I haven't talked to all of them about it. And I was, you know, a baby when this was happening. But I think they probably did not understand all that comes from IVF. I think they just thought this is an amazing way to, quote, work with God to create a child. And they, even a lot of pro-lifers today and Christians today see IVF as a pro-life thing to do because you're creating life. And they Right. don't understand that you're killing far, far, far more human beings than are being created. And so, no, I'm guessing they didn't fully understand it. And I have talked to some people from the church who were, you know, involved with counseling people to do IVF at the time. And they see the inconsistency, I think, in what they're saying, but they will not say that they were wrong to do it. And I think that that is driven, they tell me, like, you didn't see the heartbreak of infertility for these people. Like, you didn't see that, and you haven't experienced it. And that is why all of this is okay, even though I think they truly do understand now and believe that it is wrong. They just haven't gotten to the point of actually admitting it yet.
Okay, John, tell us about the more of the theological implications about biblical ethics and morality surrounding this.
Sure. Well, like you heard in what Laura was talking about, it starts off with the sperm collection. I mean, you're in a lot of cases, you're looking at porn in order to collect it. And so even on a very baseline level, obviously you're looking with lust and you're getting the sperm that way. I've heard people try to justify that in various ways, say, well, no, I didn't. I didn't do that. I didn't use porn. I didn't think lustful thoughts or whatever. I guess that's between them and God. But we all know what Jesus taught about looking with lust. So
how about the excuse? Have you ever heard the excuse I was contemplating my own wife?
Sure. And maybe they were, I guess. But right. I doubt it. Honestly, I mean, just human flesh being what it is, human nature being what it is, I doubted it. But the biggest issue, as I think about it, is the fact that because of the enormous loss of human life throughout every stage of IVF, you're looking, since it's a scientific fact, that human life starts at fertilization. The cells begin dividing at fertilization. It's human. It's not in some other sort of life. It's not a giraffe. And when you have life and it's human life, the embryology textbooks that these embryologists have to study in order to get their bachelor's degree to become embryologists all say that life starts at fertilization. And so, and we know it scripturally that that's the way it is. I know Jeremiah 1:5 is speaking also about, you know, the sovereignty of God, but there is a very literal aspect to this. Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you're in the womb, you're in the fallopian tube as an embryo traveling down that fallopian tube, waiting to attach to the wall of the uterus. And so human life begins at fertilization. And so what you have with IVF is you have couples that are willing to literally sacrifice their own children to get the genetically perfect child or children that they want. And the numbers are very difficult to nail down specifically, but, you know, like Laura was saying, like 93% of these embryos will never see the light of day. You also see numbers like maybe 30 embryos to every one live birth. And so, you know, I make the, when I preach out in front of an IVF lab, I will say, you know, imagine you've got a bus that pulls up here. You've got 30 children on the bus, and you jump on that bus and you, you know, take a look at them. You ask them questions to see how smart they are. Ask them what their parents do for a living, all that kind of stuff. And after you've done that, you pick one out, the one that you think is the smartest, the prettiest, most handsome, whatever. And then you walk off the bus and you tell the bus driver, okay, you can do whatever you want with the other 29. And then he goes back there and just kills them all. I mean, that's in essence, what you have going on with IVF and the amount of human lives that are created to get the one or how many ever you want. And so it is child sacrifice on a level that actually makes abortion pale in comparison a bit. When someone goes to an abortion clinic, they're there to kill one or maybe several, two or three babies that are in their womb, but not 30. And so, and then, you know, financially, it just they're making so much more money at IVF than the abortionist ever thought about making. And so this thing is really wicked. When I first started going out to the IVF clinics, I do try to be gentle with the people that I talk to, but the more I'm out there and the more that I understand that these folks, if you ask them a few questions, they begin to open up about how many, they know how many eggs were fertilized. They know how many of that first batch did not survive. They know how many didn't make the grade. They know how many they have in frozen storage. If they lost any when they were thawed, they know how many of those they've lost. If they transferred and they didn't transfer, they can tell you how many of those. And so they know that there's a certain amount of child sacrifice that's going on here. They just have never heard it put to them that way.
Right.
And so, you know, it's a, I had one lady ask me, she says, are you saying this is sin? And I'm saying, when you're sacrificing your own children, it's murder. And you say, yeah, that's sin. And so,
this is actually, we who are anti-abortion will very often call abortion infanticide, and we're generally thinking about the broader picture of the babies being murdered one by one by individuals worldwide. But in this case, it's infanticide with multiple children being murdered each and every instance.
Right.
By the same parents.
Right.
And
yeah. And that's,
go ahead.
Go ahead.
No, go ahead.
That's a hard pill for them to swallow. And especially while here in Texas, when I'm out there, I'm talking to people that are generally pro-life. And they will, you know, I'll ask them, do you believe that life begins at fertilization? And all of them, almost all of them, except unbelievers, will say, yeah, I believe that. So then you just have to start walking them through the stages to help them see that. And I have seen people, when they realize what's happened, I really believe what happens is they harden their own hearts against, or God's hardening their heart, maybe some combination, where they just don't see those embryos as human lives, although they know intellectually that they are. And then as you ask questions and point out biblical concepts, I've seen people's eyes fill up with tears and realize, wow, I've done something wrong here. Doesn't happen as often as I'd like to see it, but I have seen it. And I think you see it with people who are truly Christians, you know, who maybe have, you know, I'll get to this issue in just a minute. I don't get too far ahead of myself, but I think there is an element of idolatry that's going on here at some stage. And so, so there's that. And then the other issue And this is something the Roman Catholics do a much better job with than we do, talking about the nature of marriage and reproduction. They don't do a good job of arguing it biblically. They argue it more academically or philosophically. But biblically, we know that the marriage bed is undefiled. We know that Genesis chapter 2, verse 24, we know that, marriage is blessed by God, one man and one woman. But when you start to introduce other parties into the marriage bed, so
right.
a third party, a fourth party, a fifth party, then you violate the essence of the scriptural command, and you are violating, whether you go for natural law or not, natural, you know, what we know is true in terms of reproduction. And so it's essentially a form of adultery. If you have a woman who's got eggs that are fine, but she needs to go find the sperm of another man in order to reproduce, you know, why bother with IVF? I mean, and this sounds crass, and it is, but I do it to shock people and wake them up. I mean, you can get a cheap hotel for $50. You know, I mean, seriously, it's immorality to do that kind of thing. And so what people are doing, in essence, it's really the essence of every sin. You know, so if I lie before God and I say, Lord, I know you want me to tell the truth, thou shalt not bear false witness. But in this case, I know what I want and I know what I need. So I'm going to stretch the truth to get what I need. I don't care what you want. I think the same thing in essence is happening with IVF. God, I know that these things are true. You know that I shouldn't be looking for another party to have a child with. And I know that it's one man, one woman. I know that child sacrifice is wrong, but I really want a child. That's the essence of every sin.
Now, how do you respond? Because I'm sure this argument would come up by people outraged by you making a comparison to adultery. Nothing can be further from the truth. I'm not cheating on my husband. There is no interaction between the woman and the other male involved in this fertilization. There's no emotional attachment. There's no physical contact. How can you make such an outrageous claim? How do you respond to that kind of a argument that people may frequently have?
Well, when it's someone else's sperm with your egg, there's a physical, maybe nothing that you personally, like in the same way as sex, but it's still a physical contact that's happening between the semen of another man and your genetic material, your egg. And so I would say that while I understand what they're trying to get at, the fact is that at essence it is, and this is, you know, it's an end around on what God has ordained. And it's idolatry. It's saying what I want matters more, and I don't trust God. I don't believe God can do this. And so I'm going to look to man to create something that, although the Bible is very clear here, God in 1 Samuel 1, it was God who closed Hannah's womb, and it was God who opened her womb.
Right.
Now, we either believe that or we don't. And by the same token, we all claim that we believe that Jesus was born of a virgin. And the Bible teaches that very clearly.
And by the way, could you pick up on your point of Jesus being born of a virgin? Because we have to go to our midway break.
Okay, yeah.
And please, folks, try to respond to our advertisers as often as you can, because they are responsible for keeping us on the air. Don't go away. We'll be right back.
Chris Arnzen of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio has had a long-time partnership with our friends at CVBBS, which stands for Cumberland Valley Bible Book Service. They specialize in supplying Reformed and Puritan books and Bibles at discount prices that make them affordable for everyone. CVBBS has been a family-owned book service since 1987, operating out of Carlisle, Pennsylvania. They seek to bring you the best available Christian books and Bibles at the best possible prices. And now, They're also shipping worldwide. Browse the pages at ease, shop at your leisure, and purchase with confidence at Cumberland Valley Bible Book Service. Order online worldwide at cvbbs.com. That's cvbbs.com. Or you can order by phone at 717-249-0231. That's 717-249-0231. For orders of $50 or more, use promo code IRON for an extra 5% off their already discounted prices. And please, let our friends at CVBBS know that you heard about them on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
I'm Dr. Joseph Piper, President Emeritus and Professor of Systematic and Applied Theology at Greenville Presbyterian Theological Seminary. Every Christian who's serious about the Reformed faith and the Westminster Standards should have and use the 8-volume commentary on the theology and ethics of the Westminster Larger Catechism titled Authentic Christianity by Dr. Joseph Moorcraft. It is much more than an exposition of the Larger Catechism. It is a thoroughly researched work that utilizes biblical exegesis as well as historical and systematic theology. Dr. Moorcraft is pastor of Heritage Presbyterian Church of Cumming, Georgia, and I urge everyone looking for a biblically faithful church in that area to visit that fine congregation. For details on the 8-volume commentary, go to westminstercommentary.com, westminstercommentary.com. For details on Heritage Presbyterian Church of Cumming, Georgia, visit heritagepresbyterianchurch.com, heritagepresbyterianchurch.com. Please tell Dr. Moorcraft and the saints at Heritage Presbyterian Church of Cumming, Georgia, that Dr. Joseph Piper of Greenville Presbyterian Theological Seminary sent you.
When Iron Sharpens Iron Radio first launched in 2005, the publishers of the New American Standard Bible were among my very first sponsors. It gives me joy knowing that many scholars and pastors in the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio audience have been sticking with or switching to the NASB.
I'm Pastor Nate Pickowitz of Harvest Bible Church in Gilmanton Iron Works, New Hampshire, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Rich Jensen of Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Coram, New York, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Sule Prince of Oakwood Wesleyan Church in Toronto, Ontario, Canada, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor John Sampson of King's Church in Peoria, Arizona, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Chuck Volo of New Life Community Church in Kingsville, Maryland, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Steve Herford of Eastport Baptist Church in Jacksonville, Florida, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Roy Owens Jr. of the Church at Friendship in Hockley, Texas, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
Here's a great way for your church to help keep Iron Sharpens Iron Radio on the air. Pastors, are your pew Bibles tattered and falling apart? Consider restocking your pews with the NASB. And tell the publishers you heard about them from Chris Arnzen on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Go to nasbible.com. That's nasbible.com to place your order.
Puritan Reformed is a Bible-believing, kingdom-building, devil-fighting church. We're devoted to upholding the apostolic doctrine and practice preserved in Scripture alone. Puritan Reformed teaches men to rule and lead as image-bearing prophets, priests, and kings. We teach families to worship together as families. Puritan is committed to teaching the whole counsel of God so that the earth will be filled with the knowledge of God as the waters cover the sea. We sing the Psalms, teach the law, proclaim the gospel, make disciples, maintain discipline, and exalt Christ. This is Pastor David Reese of Puritan Reformed in Phoenix, Arizona. Join us in the glorious cause of advancing Christ's crown and covenant over the kings of the earth. Puritan Reformed Church. Believe, build, fight. PuritanPHX.com.
This is Pastor Bill Sasso, Grace Church at Franklin, here in the beautiful state of Tennessee. Our congregation is one of a growing number of churches who love and support Iron Sharpens Iron Radio financially. Grace Church at Franklin is an independent, autonomous body of believers which strives to clearly declare the whole counsel of God as revealed in Scripture through the person and work of our Lord Jesus Christ. And of course, the end for which we strive is the glory of God. If you live near Franklin, Tennessee, and Franklin is just south of Nashville, maybe 10 minutes, or you are visiting this area, or you have friends and loved ones nearby, we hope you will join us some Lord's Day in worshiping our God and Savior. Please feel free to contact me if you have more questions about Grace Church at Franklin. Our website is gracechurchatfranklin.org. That's gracechurchatfranklin.org. This is Pastor Bill Sasser wishing you all the richest blessings of our sovereign Lord, God, Savior, and King Jesus Christ, today and always.
Hello, my name is Anthony Uvinio, and I'm one of the pastors at Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Corum, New York, and also the host of the ReformRookie.com website. I want you to know that if you enjoy listening to the Iron Sharpens Iron radio show like I do, you can now find it on the Apple's iTunes app by typing Iron Sharpens Iron Radio in the search bar. You no longer have to worry about missing a show or a special guest because you're in your car or still at work. Just subscribe on the iTunes app and listen to the Iron Sharpens Iron radio show at any time, day or night. Please be sure to also give it a good review and pass it along to anyone who would benefit from the teaching and the many solidly reformed guests that Chris Arnson has on the show. Truth is so hard to come by these days, so don't waste your time with fluff or fake news. Subscribe to the Iron Sharpens Iron radio podcast right now. And while you're at it, you can also sign up for the ReformRookie.com podcast and visit our website and the YouTube page. We are dedicated to teaching Christian theology from a Reformed Baptist perspective to beginners in the faith as well as seasoned believers. From Keach's Catechism and the Doctrines of Grace to the Olivet Discourse and the Book of Leviticus, the Reform Rookie podcast and YouTube channel is sure to have something to offer everyone seeking biblical truth. And finally, if you're looking to worship in a Reformed church that holds to the 1689 London Baptist Confession of Faith, please join us at Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Corum, New York. Again, I'm Pastor Anthony Uvinio, and thanks for listening.
If you love Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, one of the best ways you can help keep the show on the air is by supporting our advertisers. One such faithful advertiser who really believes in what Chris Arnson is doing is Daniel P. Puttafuoco, serious injury lawyer and Christian apologist. Dan is the president and founder of the Historical Bible Society. Their mission? To foster belief in the credibility of Scripture as the written Word of God. They go to various churches, schools, and institutions to publicly display a rare collection of biblical texts, along with a fascinating presentation by Mr. Buttafuoco demonstrating the reliability of Scripture. To advance the cause of the gospel, they created a beautiful, perfect facsimile of the genealogy of Jesus Christ from the original engravings contained in a first edition 1611 King James Bible. This 17th century hand-engraved chart shows the family tree of Jesus Christ going back to Adam and Eve. This book is complete with gorgeous full-size illustrations of Noah's Ark and the Tower of Babel, and an explanation of why the genealogy of Jesus is so important for his claims to the throne of the universe. Originals of this work are in museums, and nobody has ever made it accessible to the public in a large book form before. You can have your own copy of this 44-page genealogy book for a donation of $35 or more. Visit historicalbiblesociety.org. That's historicalbiblesociety.org. Thanks for helping to keep Iron Sharpens Iron Radio on the air.
Hi, this is John Sampson, pastor of King's Church in Peoria, Arizona, taking a moment of your day to talk about Chris Arnzen and the Iron Sharpens Iron podcast. I consider Chris a true friend and a man of high integrity. He's a skilled interviewer who's not afraid to ask the big, penetrating questions while always defending the key doctrines of the Christian faith. I've always been happy to point people to this podcast, knowing it's one of the very few safe places on the internet where folk won't be led astray. I believe this podcast needs to be heard far and wide. This is a day of great spiritual compromise, and yet God has raised Chris up for just such a time. And knowing this, it's up to us as members of the body of Christ to stand with such a ministry in prayer and in finances. I'm pleased to do so and would like to ask you to prayerfully consider joining me in supporting Iron Sharpens Iron financially. Would you consider sending either a one-time gift or even becoming a regular monthly partner with this ministry? I know it would be a huge encouragement to Chris if you would. All the details can be found at ironsharpensironradio.com, where you can click support. That's ironsharpensironradio.com.
Charles Haddon Spurgeon once said,
"Give yourself unto reading. The man who never reads will never be read. He who never quotes will never be quoted. He who will not use the thoughts of other men's brains proves that he has no brains of his own. You need to read."
Solid Ground Christian Books is a publisher and book distributor who takes these words of the Prince of Preachers to heart. The mission of Solid Ground Christian Books is to bring back treasures of the past to minister to Christians in the present and future, and to publish new titles that address burning issues in the church and the world. Since its beginning in 2001, Solid Ground has been committed to publish God-centered, Christ-exalting books for all ages. We invite you to go treasure hunting at solid-ground-books.com. That's solid-ground-books.com and see what priceless literary gems from the past or present you can unearth from Solid Ground. Solid Ground Christian Books is honored to be a weekly sponsor of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
And don't forget, folks, solid-ground-books.com is a premier, a vital financial supporter of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. So if you love this show and want it to continue to exist, please purchase as many books as possible and as frequently as possible from solid-ground-books.com. And keep in mind, you're not only going to be doing solid-ground-books.com a favor by buying books from them, and you're not only going to be doing Iron Sharpens Iron Radio a favor by keeping one of our most important advertisers happy, you're going to be doing yourself and anyone for whom you are purchasing books from solid-ground-books.com an enormous favor of incalculable value, because they bring back into print lost treasures of Christian literature, some of which have been hidden from the eyes and minds of Christians for centuries until they were rediscovered by solid-ground-books.com and brought back into print. And they also publish brand new books that have never been in print before by such modern-day authors as Dr. James R. White of Alpha and Omega Ministries. So please visit solid-ground-books.com today. If you've never purchased books from them before, make today your very first purchase. And even if you purchase books from them frequently, maybe even every month or more, make today your very largest purchase than you ever have made before, if at all you can afford to do so, at solid-ground-books.com. Always mention that you heard about them from Chris Arnzen of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Before I return to my guests today, we have some very important announcements to make. If you love this show, you want it to remain on the air, please, I'm urging you, go to ironsharpensironradio.com, click support, then click to donate now. You could donate instantly with a debit or credit card, and if you prefer snail mail, there will be a physical address that also appears on your screen when you click support at ironsharpensironradio.com, where you can mail your checks made payable to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. And if you want to advertise with us, whether it's your church, parachurch ministry, business, private practice like a medical firm or a law firm, or maybe it's just a special event, as long as it's compatible with what I believe, I would love to help you launch an ad campaign quickly, because we're just as much in urgent need of your advertising dollars as we are in your donations. So please send me an email to chrisarnson@gmail.com and put advertising in the subject line. Please remember, folks, I never want an Iron Sharpens Iron Radio listener to cut into the finances that you have set aside to give to your own local church where you're a member on the Lord's Day in order to bless us with a financial gift. And never give your own church less money than you normally give your church in order to bless us. Also, if you're really struggling to survive, wait until you're back on your feet and more stable financially before you send us a gift. The Bible's very clear that we're commanded to provide financially for our church and our home, and providing for Iron Sharpens Iron Radio is not a command, obviously. But if you love the show, don't want it to disappear, and you are blessed financially above and beyond your ability to provide for church and family, you have extra money for benevolent, recreational, or trivial purposes, please go to ironsharpensironradio.com, click support, and then click to donate now. Also, if you are not a member of a Christ-honoring, biblically faithful church, one that has sound theology and doctrine, like by the Word Baptist Church of Azle, Texas, I have extensive lists spanning the globe, and no matter where you live in the world, I may be able to help you find a church. Send me an email to chrisarnson@gmail.com and put "I need a church" in the subject line. That's also the email address you could send in a question to Laura Clausen and John Speed of choice42.com on our issue that we are discussing today of in vitro fertilization. chrisarnson@gmail.com. Give us your first name, at least city and state and country of residence. Only remain anonymous if your question is personal and private. Before we go to any listener questions, please, John, pick up where you left off on the virgin birth of Jesus Christ.
Speaking to people in front of an IVF lab, I'll often point out that many of these people, especially here in Texas, are professing Christians. I'll challenge them and say, listen, at Christmas time, you'll go to the church and you'll sing songs about the virgin birth of Christ and how God made that happen. And at Easter, you will sing songs about the resurrection of Jesus Christ, raising him from the dead. If he can cause a virgin to conceive and he can raise Jesus from the dead, he has the power and the ability to cause you to have a child. And it's a very simple concept, but it's either a question of whether we really believe those things or not, and whether we really believe the things in Scripture that speak to the fact that God seems to rejoice at doing that, of causing the barren to bring forth children. And so, those are things where if we're, as Christians, especially Christians, we should not be people who just abandon biblical concepts because some doctor or technician has told us that it's impossible for us to have a child. With God, it's anything's possible. Nothing is impossible with God. So, that's where I was going with that.
Okay, we have a question from Maisie in Blue Jay, West Virginia. Maisie asks, I'd like to have both of you answer this question. How often do you come across a pastor, even one who shares your theological views, who is ignorant about how murder is actually taking place during in vitro fertilization? And why don't we start this time with Laura, and then we'll have John follow up with that.
How often? So often. All the time.
So even theologically reformed conservative pastors.
Yeah.
Wow.
And but I will say those would be more Canadian. And I will say that after they've looked into it, then they do agree that it's wrong.
Now, so is that across the board or just the reformed guys?
That's reformed guys.
Okay.
Other pastors will say there's nothing wrong with it, that God is using IVF fulfill, you know, be fruitful and multiply, that God is using IVF to do this for some people. That's what I've been told. So a lot, there's a lot of pastors, but I think they don't understand, again, I don't think they understand actually what happens during IVF. I don't think they care to understand. That's been my experience.
Wow. And John?
Well, I can speak from my own experience and say that I never thought about it at all up until a couple of years ago. And then when we started working on Build a Baby, that's when I became really aware. But that's myself. But talking to other pastors, I think what's happening is they know people in their congregation who've had IVF, have used it, and they have given the idea that what they did was ethical. And so I think because of those sorts of comments, pastors will generally say, well, yeah, okay, so ethical IVF is okay, but, you know, unethical isn't, or just normal IVF isn't. And I think what's happened is they're just believing whatever they hear from their parishioner, their congregation, rather than looking into it very far for themselves. And I think it's true what Laura is saying. If they look into it a bit and really, if they are firm on the area of life beginning at fertilization, then they'll recognize it. But I also have heard this argument that God gave us the technology, and so therefore it's okay because God allowed this to happen. Well, my response to that is, what are we saying about transgender surgery?
Right.
You know, what are we saying about the internet? You know, okay, so God gave us the internet, and so porn's okay. I mean, it's just a weird take on it if you look at what IVF really is.
Now,
and I have one more weird thing to say about that,
go ahead.
I think John and I both realized, is that IVF is very expensive, and the people who are doing IVF, generally speaking, are the more wealthy people, and they are the people that are donating more to the church. And I think there's a bit of awkwardness there that some pastors don't want to confront it because their biggest donors are the ones who are doing it.
Wow.
Yep, that's true.
Yeah. Now, John, when you were saying that there are some pastors who are defending some kinds of IVF, calling it ethical IVF, what are they talking about? How are they making a difference from any other kind of IVF?
They've heard about people transferring multiple embryos. And so when you do that, of course, some of them can die, or they do selective reduction after transfer. If the couple only wants one baby and say they transfer three, well, they can abort the other two, or how many ever that they transferred that they don't want. They can abort up until the second trimester. So they know about that maybe. And then the couples are saying, well, no, we didn't do that. We only transferred one at a time. And they focus on the number of embryos transferred rather than all of the embryos that have been destroyed through the entire process. And so I think that's where they're kind of just listening to their congregation member that's had this done, but they haven't really looked to see how much human life is discarded or destroyed through the entire process.
Wow. Let's see here. We do have an anonymous listener who asks, do you think that IVF is an excommunicable offense to a congregation member if that person does not repent over what they have done?
That's an interesting question. I think, you know, of course, when you're dealing with sins that people aren't aware of, right, when they do it, and then you start to educate them regarding what the scriptures say about those things, and they're unrepentant after they're faced with all the facts, I think you might very well be dealing with a church discipline situation. And, you know, it's the first time I've had that question posed to me. So I'm kind of doing this on the fly a little bit. There might be some things I need to think through. But if I had a congregant church member who is, you know, considering abortion and murdering one of their children, I would, after everything that they've heard in our church in terms of teaching that subject, they would have no excuse. You know, I'm just sort of assuming that in most cases they won't be familiar with what IVF is, and there'd be some education there. But yeah, I think if they're unrepentant after all of that, that may be something that would be legitimate to do.
You know, here's a more controversial question following up on that, a question of my own. Churches, even the most right-leaning, conservative, Bible-believing churches, fellowships, denominations, have frequently elevated the right to vote for anyone whom you please. It has been elevated to a status of being sacred. The whole concept of going into that voting booth and closing the curtain, voting for whoever you want to vote for, the church has typically, no matter how conservative it is, has taken a position in general that we don't want to know who you're voting for. That's none of our business. You're completely free to vote for anybody you want. But if somebody is knowledgeably voting to further the authority and power of somebody who is enthusiastically and excitedly and giddily promoting infanticide, promoting the sexual mutilation of children by doctors at the sometimes at the approval of the parents, perhaps sometimes not, through schools keeping it private or whatever, but the sexual mutilization of children who are viewed as so-called transgendered, which we know is a fiction. But just because the person is not doing it themselves, they very often likely feel emboldened to say, well, I could still vote for somebody who is enthusiastically keeping those things legal because I like their economic policy. You know, the old liberal saying when they've been confronted about abortion, like Jesse Jackson was, who used to be openly anti-abortion. He changed when he was running for president. And he would answer the question, oh, I care about unborn life, but I care about life after it's born, too. And making the insinuation that those against abortion have no concern over children growing up in the inner city and the ghetto and all that. But what do you think about that? Is that right for churches to just allow people to vote for anyone whom they please? Not that you would necessarily say you must vote for this conservative, because even opting out of voting altogether, I think, is a valid thing to do when both of your options may be horrendous. Or even saying you must, you know, vote for this specific conservative. I'm not saying that. But to actually actively vote for somebody who's involved in the murder of children, maybe not with their own hands, but through their policies, should that be viewed as sin, and should it be a matter of discipline?
Well, one thing I think about in regards to discipline is the biblical standard, you know, 2 or 3 witnesses. And so in order to even bring the charge, and it would also apply to IVF, you'd have to have 2 or 3 witnesses to the fact that they had done it, even to be able to really do church discipline properly.
Well, they might be bragging about it.
that's what I mean. That could, and that does happen, doesn't it? And so
people might even bring up IFV in a prayer meeting.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And so in those cases, you have the witnesses.
IVF, I misspoke.
I think you could, if they were out going around the church talking about how they support this guy or whoever, this politician, whoever that's rapidly supporting, here's where it gets really interesting. So then after considering what former President Trump said yesterday regarding abortion, which has a whole pro-life world like in the tither right now. So what do you say about that then?
Right.
You know, like here's supposedly a good guy, you know, a Republican, and he's supporting that. Then why not also church discipline them? I mean, here in Texas, we've got the pro-life hero, Stephanie Click, running against David Lowe for a state house position. She killed the bill to abolish abortion in Texas, but she championed the heartbeat bill, which still allows for the death of children before the age of 6 weeks and doesn't provide IVF embryos with any protection. So, you know, I'm of the opinion that, like, if I had a pro-life politician in my church that did something like that, that they would be church disciplined. So if I have that opinion about the politician and they've been properly educated and they've been given all the information and they're still doing this thing, I think there's at least the element church discipline isn't just throwing somebody out of the church. Church discipline is that one-to-one confrontation, right. You know, that confrontation with witnesses. And in most cases, that kind of church discipline ends after the first or second step, and it never goes before the church, right. Because people do repent if they're Christians.
Right.
So, yeah, I don't know. It's a tough one to say, but I think we ought to have these conversations, and we ought to ask ourselves, you know, is this stuff really sin or isn't it? And if it is, then, you know, that's how we're supposed to deal with it.
I guess there, and perhaps you disagree with me, but in regard to viewing a person as openly in sin, for even if they have a strategy in their minds that is not in agreement with you, that this politician will be used of God to make sure that less babies are murdered in this world or in this country. And you know, so I want to make sure that in spite of all his horrible flaws and views on abortion, he is definitely Donald Trump, for instance, or whoever the person may be running for office. This person is going to be obviously used of God to at least keep more babies alive than the other person. So to view that person as openly in sin when you disagree with the strategy that's in their mind, is a little bit more difficult than somebody who is saying my personal financial comfort is more important than babies being murdered or more important,
right.
More important than children being sexually mutilated under the banner of transgenderism. You know, that's a different story.
As it pertains to, you know, abortion, part of the problem is people will say, okay, this particular policy or strategy will result in less abortions. But the issue is you actually have to be able to prove that. And if you actually look at the numbers, like since the overturn of Roe, abortion has actually increased nationwide since the abortion or since Roe was overturned. It's been, I think the increase has been somewhere around 125,000-150,000 across the United States. And the issue is that they say these things, but because abortion has become so accessible at home, people can do self-managed abortions at home. Those numbers aren't being even reported. The chemical abortions that happen in the first trimester, people don't even have any idea really how many abortions are taking place in this country. And so I think that there's sort of a pro-life narrative that's been out there for a long time that gives this idea, well, we got to take what we can get. And if we take what we can get, we can slowly turn the ship around. But the numbers aren't bearing that out. After 50 years, it's really evident that this whole strategy has failed. And I'm obviously talking about the United States. It's not worked at all. The numbers are going up, and now abortion's more accessible than it's ever been. I just heard there's about 70 different companies that are selling abortion pills to be sold to people, you know, at home. And like in the state of Texas, where surgical abortion has been made illegal for the abortionist, the mom is still under protection of law, and she can still order those things and do them at home. And so that's why I'm an abolitionist. I don't make any bones about like where I stand. I don't call myself pro-life. I call myself an abolitionist because it's more consistent. And partiality is a sin. You know, when we say a lot of these laws, will, like a heartbeat bill, will say, well, you can kill the baby up until 5 or 6 weeks, depending on the state that you're in, with a heartbeat bill. Saying that you can kill that baby, but you can't kill the babies after 6 weeks is sinful partiality. It's unequal weights and measures. And we don't have biblical warrant to do that. That's actually a sinful thing to do by itself. And so that's something, you know, that just isn't being honestly considered in these sorts of discussions, I don't think.
Yes, and one of the things I want to make sure that both of you do before we run out of time, I want to make sure, Laura and then John, that you bring up things that you most wanted to highlight during this very important discussion, because someone like me, who's the host, who is as ignorant as I am over in vitro fertilization, maybe have forgotten to ask something, and perhaps our audience member have overlooked vital questions that you want to address as well. So, Laura, is there anything specifically that should be highlighted today before we go to our final commercial break?
Sure. I can think of two things. One thing, and I have people who are upset about me, you know, basically exposing IVF, and they assume that I am saying that children created through IVF are not as worthy or not as good as other people. That seems to be like a knee-jerk reaction comment that I get, especially from mothers who have done IVF. And I just want to say that that is not at all what I think or what I am trying to say. You know, all human beings are created in the image of God. And so a child, it doesn't matter if they were created through rape. It doesn't matter if they were created through IVF or incest or however it happened. They are an equal human being. So that's one thing. And I'm thank you for the opportunity to say that. And then the second thing is this whole really exposing of IVF came out of our series that we're doing called Exposed. And this was the second episode. And this is kind of what blew up the whole IVF discussion quite recently, which has been awesome. And so I just want to encourage people to check out our video, Build a Baby. It's on our website and our video sections, but also to be watching for our next episode that we're making, which is on a topic that I can say is even more controversial than this. It is. And we're not releasing what that topic is yet because when you see it, you'll know why, but we're worried about it getting shut down before it ever gets released. So I just would like to encourage people to go and check out more information on this series. And yeah, that would be awesome.
And John?
Yeah, I was just thinking that in light of what I'm saying about like church discipline and all this stuff, I feel like it's also important to say that when you have people who've done IVF in the past, and either they were not aware of all these things, or maybe they did just sort of find ways to justify what they were doing. It's like any other sin. Like there are times when I'm sinning and I don't realize that I'm sinning. Like it's attitude or thought or something, pridefulness sometimes you're not aware of, those sorts of things. But when the Spirit of God brings conviction over those things, then the way to respond at that moment isn't more justification and more self-defense over it, but just humble recognition that, yeah, I didn't do what was right in that situation. I repent for those things, for these actions, these children that have been sacrificed. I repent over that. We all sin. We all need grace. We need the gospel of Christ to forgive us of our sins. And so we need to go there and just call it that. And then, you know, repent would mean if you've got embryos in frozen storage, doing everything you can to transfer them and have these children, or at least find a way to have those embryos adopted out to a family who's looking to have children, fertile or infertile. You know, there's people that are willing to adopt these embryos. You can just go directly to the clinic and do it that way. I actually encourage that rather than going through like a snowflake adoption thing. But at any rate, all I'm trying to say is that there is, you know, there's grace for people who sin, and we need to look at it the same way as we would any other.
Okay, we have Blair in Cold Spring Harbor, Long Island, New York. And by the way, I don't know if Blair knows this, but Cold Spring Harbor, New York, was the headquarters of the eugenics laboratory in the United States, which actually inspired, tragically, Adolf Hitler to annihilate the Jews and other non-Aryan folks because of the view that they were inferior, intrinsically inferior, and that laboratory still exists, although no longer promoting the racism that it once stood for. But anyway, that's not what Blair is asking. Blair says, when I saw that John Speed was going to be featured in an interview today, I hope that he is going to say something about babies are murdered here, which I know he has involvement in.
Yeah. Well, back in, I guess it was 2014, we released Babies Are Murdered Here. And Jeff Durbin over at Apologia Church saw it, and some other things happened. And that gave the impetus for End Abortion Now. And then the sequel, Babies Are Still Murdered Here, which was released in 2019. And so you can see this, you can see both on YouTube for free, but babiesaremurderedhere.com. You can watch, I think the sequel is there. There's probably a link to the original there as well.
Great. Well, we're going to our final break right now. And if you do have questions of your own and you'd like to join the conversation, please send in your question immediately because we're rapidly running out of time. ChrisArnson@gmail.com. Give his first name at least, city and state and country of residence. Don't go away. We'll be right back.
James White of Alpha and Omega Ministries here. If you've watched my Dividing Line webcast often enough, you know I have a great love for getting Bibles and other documents vital to my ministry rebound to preserve and ensure their longevity. And besides that, they feel so good. I'm so delighted I discovered Post Tenebris Lux Bible Rebinding. No radio ad will be long enough to sing their praises sufficiently, but I'll give it a shot. Jeffrey Rice of Post Tenebris Lux is a remarkably gifted craftsman and artisan. All his work is done by hand, from the cutting to the pleating of corners to the perimeter stitching. Jeffrey uses the finest and buttery soft imported leathers in a wide variety of gorgeous colors, like the turquoise goat skin tanned in Italy used for my Nessie Allen 28th edition, with a navy blue goat skin inside liner, and the electric blue goat skin from a French tannery used to rebind a Reformation study Bible I used as a gift. The silver gilding he added on the page edges has a stunning mirror finish resembling highly polished chrome. Jeffrey will customize your rebinding to your specifications and even emboss your logo into the leather, making whatever he rebinds a one-of-a-kind work of art. For more details on Post Tenebris Lux Bible Rebinding, go to PTLBibleRebinding.com. That's PTLBibleRebinding.com.
Every day at thousands of community centers, high schools, middle schools, juvenile institutions, coffee shops, and local hangouts, Long Island Youth for Christ staff and volunteers meet with young people who need Jesus. We are rural and urban, and we are always about the message of Jesus. Our mission is to have a noticeable spiritual impact on Long Island, New York, by engaging young people in the lifelong journey of following Christ. Long Island Youth for Christ has been a stalwart bedrock ministry since 1959. We have a world-class staff and a proven track record of bringing consistent love and encouragement to youths in need all over the country and around the world. Help honor our history by becoming a part of our future. Volunteer, donate, pray, or all of the above. For details, call Long Island Youth for Christ at 631-385-8333. That's 631-385-8333. Or visit liyfc.org. That's liyfc.org.
I'm Dr. Tony Costa, Professor of Apologetics and Islam at Toronto Baptist Seminary. I'm thrilled to introduce to you a church where I've been invited to speak and have grown to love, Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Coram, Long Island, New York, pastored by Rich Jensen and Christopher McDowell. It's such a joy to witness and experience fellowship with people of God like the dear saints at Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Coram, who have an intensely passionate desire to continue digging deeper and deeper into the unfathomable riches of Christ in His Holy Word, and to enthusiastically proclaim Christ Jesus the King and His doctrines of sovereign grace in Suffolk County, Long Island, and beyond. I hope you also have the privilege of discovering this precious congregation and receive the blessing of being showered by their love, as I have. For more information on Hope Reformed Baptist Church, go to hopereformedli.net. That's hopereformedli.net. Or call 631-696-5711. That's 631-696-5711. Tell the folks at Hope Reformed Baptist Church of Coram, Long Island, New York, that you heard about them from Tony Costa on Iron Sharpens Iron.
When Iron Sharpens Iron Radio first launched in 2005, the publishers of the New American Standard Bible were among my very first sponsors. It gives me joy knowing that many scholars and pastors in the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio audience have been sticking with or switching to the NASB.
I'm Dr. Joe Moorcraft, pastor of Heritage Presbyterian Church in Cumming, Georgia, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Anthony Uvino, founder of TheReformRookie.com and co-founder of New York Apologetics, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Tim Bushong of Syracuse Baptist Church in Syracuse, Indiana, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Eli Ayala, founder of Revealed Apologetics and staff member with the Historical Bible Society, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Josh Miller of Grace Bible Fellowship Church in Harrisburg, Pennsylvania, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Joe Bianchi, president of Calvary Press Publishing in Greenville, South Carolina, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Jake Korn of Switzerland Community Church in Switzerland, Florida, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
Here's a great way for your church to help keep Iron Sharpens Iron Radio on the air. Pastors, are your pew Bibles tattered and falling apart? Consider restocking your pews with the NASB. And tell the publishers you heard about them from Chris Arnzen on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Go to NASBible.com. That's NASBible.com to place your order.
Chris Arnzen here. I am forever grateful to Cumberland Valley Bible Book Service for their generous financial support of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. But that's not the only reason I love them. CVBBS.com carries the finest in theologically reformed literature from 16th century classics like Calvin's Institutes, 17th and 18th century Puritan treasures like the works of Jonathan Edwards, 19th century volumes by the Prince of Preachers Charles Spurgeon, all the way up to the 21st century with the best of R.C. Sproul, Steve Lawson, Vody Balcom, and more. On top of their stellar book selection, CVBBS.com offers up to 50% off retail prices with an added 5% off for orders of $50 or more when using the promo code IRON. Visit CVBBS.com today and use promo code IRON. That's CVBBS.com. Enriching minds and maintaining the theologically reformed influence of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio through their financial support. Now shipping worldwide.
Greetings, this is Brian McLaughlin, president of the SecureCom Group and supporter of Chris Arnzen's Iron Sharpens Iron radio program. SecureCom provides the highest level of security systems for residential buildings, municipalities, churches, commercial properties, and much more. We can be reached at SecureComGroup.com. That's SecureComGroup.com. But today, I want to introduce you to my senior pastor, Doug McMasters, of New Hyde Park Baptist Church on Long Island.
Doug McMasters here, former director of pastoral correspondence at Grace to You, the radio ministry of John MacArthur. In the film Chariots of Fire, the Olympic gold medalist runner Eric Liddell remarked that he felt God's pleasure when he ran. He knew his efforts sprang from the gifts and calling of God. I sense that same God-given pleasure when ministering the word and helping others gain a deeper knowledge and love for God. That love starts with the wonderful news that the Lord Jesus Christ is a Savior who died for sinners, and that God forgives all who come to Him in repentance, trusting solely in Christ to deliver them. I would be delighted to have the honor and privilege of ministering to you if you live in the Long Island area or Queens or Brooklyn or the Bronx in New York City. For details on New Hyde Park Baptist Church, visit nhpbc.com. That's nhpbc.com. You can also call us at 516-352-9672. That's 516-352-9672. That's New Hyde Park Baptist Church, a congregation in love with each other, passionate for Christ, committed to learning and being shaped by God's Word, and delighting in the gospel of God's sovereign grace. God bless you.
It's such a blessing to hear from Iron Sharpens Iron radio listeners from all over the world. Here's Joe Riley, a listener in Ireland, who wants you to know about a guest on the show he really loves hearing interviewed, Dr. Joe Moorcraft.
I'm Joe Riley, a faithful Iron Sharpens Iron radio listener here in Athy in County Kildare, Ireland, going back to 2005. One of my very favorite guests on Iron Sharpens Iron is Dr. Joe Moorcraft. If you've been blessed by Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, Dr. Moorcraft and Heritage Presbyterian Church of Cumming, Georgia, are largely to thank, since they are one of the program's largest financial supporters. Heritage Presbyterian Church of Cumming is in Forsyth County, a part of the Atlanta metropolitan area. Heritage is a thoroughly biblical church, unwaveringly committed to Westminster standards, and Dr. Joe Moorcraft is the author of an 8-volume commentary on the larger catechism. Heritage is a member of the Hanover Presbytery, built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, and tracing its roots and heritage back to the great Protestant Reformation of the 16th century. Heritage maintains and follows the biblical truth and principles proclaimed by the Reformers. Scripture alone, grace alone, faith alone, Christ alone, and God's glory alone. Their primary goal is the worship of the triune God that continues in eternity. For more details on Heritage Presbyterian Church of Cumming, Georgia, visit heritagepresbyterianchurch.com. That's heritagepresbyterianchurch.com. Or call 678-954-7831. That's 678-954-7831. If you visit, tell them Joe Riley, an Iron Sharpens Iron radio listener from Atoy in County Kildare, Ireland, sent you.
Pastor Keith Allen of Lynbrook Baptist Church, a Christ-centered, gospel-driven church looking to spread the gospel in the southwest portion of Long Island, New York, and play our role in fulfilling the Great Commission, supporting and sending for the spread of the gospel to the ends of the earth. We're delighted to be a part of Chris Arnzen's Iron Sharpens Iron radio advertising family. At Lynbrook Baptist Church, we believe the scriptures of the Old and New Testaments to be the inspired word of God, inerrant in the original writings, complete as the revelation of God's will for salvation, and the supreme and final authority in all matters to which they speak. We believe in salvation by grace through faith in Jesus Christ. This salvation is based upon the sovereign grace of God, was purchased by Christ on the cross, and is received through faith alone, apart from any human merit, works, or ritual. Salvation in Christ also results in righteous living, good works, and appropriate respect and concern for all who bear God's image. If you live near Lynbrook, Long Island, or if you're just passing through on the Lord's Day, we'd love to have you come and join us in worship. For details, visit lynbrookbaptist.org. That's lynbrookbaptist.org. This is Pastor Keith Allen of Lynbrook Baptist Church reminding you that by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast. May the Lord bless you in the knowledge of Himself.
I also want to remind our listeners that this program is paid for in part by my dear friend of decades, Daniel P. Buttafuoco, attorney at law, of the law firm Buttafuoco and Associates. If you're the victim of a very serious personal injury or medical malpractice anywhere in the United States, call Buttafuoco and Associates at 1-800-NOW-HURT, 1-800-NOW-HURT, or visit their website, 1-800-NOW-HURT.com. Always mention that you heard about them from Chris Arnzen of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Also, I want to let you know that Grace Christian Academy on Long Island in Merrick, New York, is having their spring musical, Cinderella, which will be held at Levittown Baptist Church on Long Island. And this will be taking place Thursday, April 18th at 7 p.m. and Friday, April 19th at 7 p.m. and Saturday, April 20th at 1 p.m. For more details on this play, go to gcali.com, gcali.com. Last but not least, if you're a man in ministry leadership, you are invited to the next Iron Sharpens Iron Radio Free Pastor's Luncheon, featuring for the very first time ever Dr. Joel Beakey as our keynote speaker. He is founder and president of Puritan Reform Theological Seminary in Grand Rapids, Michigan. Not only is your lunch free, but everyone attending is going to receive a brand new sack of books personally selected by me and donated by Christian publishers all over the United States and United Kingdom, absolutely free. So if you want to register for this free event, send me an email to chrisarnzen@gmail.com and put Pastor's Luncheon in the subject line. We have Noble in Ranger, Indiana, who says this question is specifically for John Speed, but Laura may answer as well. I was wondering, to your knowledge, of all of the grammar here is not really correct, but all of the anti-abortion ministries that you are working with, are all of them up to speed on the fact that in vitro fertilization is just as evil as abortion?
They are, I would I'll just use some examples here, like the abolitionists generally, like abolitionist rising, they were actually doing things on IVF long ago. OSA, like Operation Save America, I think so, but I don't really know.
That's the one Jason Storms is available, is involved with, right?
Yeah, I'm not sure where I know I've talked to people from over there and I've seen some things they've done recently that tell me that they do understand it. But I haven't had a formal conversation with them. I'm not sure about all of them. Honestly, it's just hard to know exactly without having those specific conversations. So I don't want to say too much about ones that I'm not really sure about.
Well, I do know that Jeff Durbin and Brian Gunter both very enthusiastically promoted Jason Storms in a recent debate that I featured with Jason and Scott Klusendorf. So I can't say that.
Yeah, I'm just saying regarding IVF, okay. I don't know. I'm just saying regarding IVF, I'm not sure. I think it's something that we're all sort of waking up to. And, you know, it was easier for me because in Texas, I was going out to the abortion clinics. But when those shut down, I needed something else to do with that energy. And so, but I hadn't thought about it seriously until Build a Baby. And I think Build a Baby is helping a lot of people think about this more consistently.
Anything to add, Laura?
No, that pretty much sums it up.
Well, I'd like you to summarize in about a minute what you most want etched in the hearts and minds of our listeners today, and I'd like John to do the same when you're finished.
I guess just the idea of finding out what IVF is, go look into it for yourself. And hold a consistent position. If you believe that life begins at fertilization, then that's what it all comes down to. And if you do believe that, then you cannot support IVF.
Okay, and John?
Yeah, I would just say to remember that the gospel, this is a gospel issue in the sense that, you know, when we're sacrificing children, it's a sin issue. And so we have to think of it in those terms, whether we're talking about our own history of involvement or whether we're talking about how we speak to people who are thinking about doing it or going through it now. We live in a culture that doesn't want to confront anything, and we have to be willing to take unpopular stands on things, even if it costs us something. And so I'd encourage people to think about that and to do that.
Well, I want to thank both of you for doing such an excellent job today, and I want to repeat all of the websites and contact information that our listeners need to know. First of all, the website for the ministry where both my guests serve is choice42.com, choice42.com. You can also look up the aforementioned babiesaremurderedhere.com, babiesaremurderedhere.com. EndAbortionNow.com, EndAbortionNow.com. And, of course, let's not forget about By the Word Baptist Church in Azle, Texas, which can be found at ByTheWord.org, ByTheWord.org. I hope that the two of you will be interested in returning to Iron Sharpens Zion Radio. I'd love to do another interview with you and multiple interviews with you in the future. Just let me know the next time you have something burdening your heart and mind that you want to have a platform to make that public. And the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio studio has an open door for you. I want to thank everybody who listened today. I want to remind you that Iron Sharpens Iron Radio is in real urgent need of your financial support. So don't forget to visit the website ironsharpensironradio.com. Click support, then click to donate now. You could donate instantly with a debit or credit card in that fashion. And please don't forget about the law firm of Buttafuoco & Associates, who is supporting this program. They just renewed their advertising contract with us. So if you are a victim of a personal injury or medical malpractice, call 1-800-NOW-HURT or visit 1-800-NOW-HURT.com. I want you all to always remember for the rest of your lives that Jesus Christ is a far greater Savior than you are a sinner.